Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want to hear directly from you. The number is 844-322-2742, and if you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, we cordially invite you to call right now. Again, the number 844-322-2742. And we ask again today, what have you learned during the coronavirus shutdown? How do you feel about businesses opening up again and your part in that? What have you learned about yourself, about God, perhaps? What about all these things? What about you? Well, we'd like to know. Give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew Farley is here. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
Boy, we would love to hear from you as well. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Andrew, we're talking about the grace of God this month, a subject near and dear to your heart. And the verse I want to share today is Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So a lot of times we just relegate grace to that acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. But here we see grace in action. We see that it's a powerful word. It takes those who were dead in sin and makes them alive together with Christ. That's what it means to be saved by grace. So I've defined grace as God's work in Jesus Christ to make us spiritually alive and then to empower us to live in this world as his children. How about you, Andrew? How do you define grace? How do you explain it to people in your ministry?
Well, everything is free, and I think that captures the attitude of grace, that your forgiveness is free, you have a new identity in Christ, that too is given freely to you, favor with God, God's pleasure with you, God's approval of you, God's love of you, and your closeness with God. Everything you've ever wanted from God in terms of connection with him, relationship with him, being clean and close to him, all of that is free. And that's what grace means to me, Bob. So all of the striving, all of the pushing for trying to get more, we can rest. We can relax in the grace of God and know that right here, right now, because of Jesus Christ, we are as clean and close as will ever be, because in him everything is free. The Bible says we have everything we need for life and godliness. We're complete in him. We don't lack anything. That's what grace means to me. You know, people talk about cheap grace. They throw stones at grace. They call it greasy grace and cheap grace. But
greasy grace, that's greasy a new grace. One for me.
Yeah, all
me
right. Well, yeah, they're so worried that it's a slippery slope. You start believing in this grace, this greasy grace, and it's going to be a slippery slope. And what I have to say to that is I wasn't climbing to begin with. It's not that I was climbing up to God. It's that he climbed down to me in the person of Christ and took care of everything and then handed it to me as a gift for free. And that's what we're talking about here in grace. As far as it being cheap grace, well, it's either free or absolutely expensive, but it can't be cheap. I mean, it cost Jesus his life. That's how expensive it was. He paid for it, and then he handed it to us as a free gift. So there's no room for cheap grace. There's just, well, there's no such thing.
Yeah, it's just grace. It's the grace of God. It's what we need. It's the only solution to our problem. There's no other way for us to be saved apart from the grace of God. And thank God his attitude, his heart toward us was one of favor, in which he reached down to us in Christ Jesus and saved us and forgave our sins and made us righteous and justified us and reconciled us and sanctified us and is going to glorify us. We're going to be with him forever. That is the grace of God. And boy, as you grow in your knowledge of Christ Jesus, as you grow in your relationship with Christ Jesus, this grace of God just takes up more and more importance in your way of thinking. And you realize it's not only the way into salvation. It's the way of life from that point forward. And it's just the most marvelous thing. And the reason it's the most marvelous thing is because it's Jesus. He is the grace of God, the full expression of the grace of God for you and for me. And it's in him we find and experience that favor. Well, let's talk about it on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Again, the number 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. Also, if you have comments about things you've been learning through this pandemic, what you've discovered about the grace of God, we would love to hear from you on that issue as well. 844-322-2742. Bob?
And we, friends, we want to make sure that you understand that the purpose here at Basic Gospel is to minister to you, to offer programming and resources that minister into your life. And Bob has posted videos on the Basic Gospel YouTube channel that address things like fear and anxiety, the things that so many have been experiencing over these past couple of months with the coronavirus issue. Well, the truth of these messages can be a source of comfort and reassurance that our God is with us no matter what. And you'll find a list of the most recent videos that you can link to right on our homepage at basicgospel.net. But you can also see all of the videos by visiting basicgospel.net/YouTube. And we hope you'll take full advantage of all this teaching. It's free and it's all there for you. Again, you'll find the video library at basicgospel.net/YouTube.
Well, thanks, Bob. Some of our YouTube viewers are responding to the question about the pandemic. What are they learning? One lady writes, I'm learning about myself that I do not have patience as I thought I did. And then another person writes this, I'm learning to be patient. And I think that's something that we're all figuring out through this pandemic. What does it mean to be patient? We also have Jenny listening to us in Michigan who wants to weigh in. Jenny, you're on the line.
Doing?
We're doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
Yes, sir. First of all, I'd like to tell you that I listen to you every day. I love your show.
Well, thank you, Jenny. Yeah. Thanks for saying that.
I would like to comment real quick. I'll be as quick as I can. I'm blind. I'm 68 years old. And I do attend church. We're finally having drive-in church, which is wonderful. And we had it on YouTube, which is great. But it's been very unhealthy for me to stay in the house constantly. And thank the Lord that I have a friend, that we've been going to the store, and now my other friend has finally gotten over some of her fear, and we're going out a little bit. And I went to a friend's house Sunday. It was great. And I just want to say this. For those of you that are living with fear, please try not to do it, because doesn't the Bible have a do not fear for every day of the year?
Yeah, Jenny, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, every time God shows up in a person's life, one of the first things he says is fear not. And it's that perfect love of God that casts away all fear. And if we can just start focusing on the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus, we'll see that fear diminishing in our hearts. I think the love of God is really a punches fear right in the nose, doesn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, Isaiah 41 says, don't fear, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And how true that is for us with the indwelling Christ, even as we speak, the fact that he lives in us, indwells us, is flowing through our spiritual veins, offering us comfort and counsel in every moment. And you talk about fear and the unknown and patience and all of these things that we need to think about these days with the pandemic. I have certainly found that giving up my right to control a circumstance and giving up my expectation to a certain outcome it just puts me living in the moment again. And you see, fear puts you living in the future. It's an unknown future. You're freaked out about it. You start feeling anxious about it because the movie screen of your mind is now displaying all kinds of horrible events that haven't happened. So fear puts you in the future, and then guilt puts you in the past. And so the enemy will accuse you and say, look what you did yesterday and last week and last year, and you still need to pay for that. And, you know, those sort of attitudes, they get us off of living in the present. Fear puts us in the future, guilt puts us in the past, but Jesus wants us in the present, and that's why he calls himself I Am. And here in Isaiah 41, he's saying, I am with you, so don't be dismayed. So, guys, I just think, giving up our rights to an outcome, releasing our expectations, and just saying, Lord, I'm willing for anything to happen out there because I know you're with me and you are enough.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for calling in today. Glad you were listening there in the Detroit area. And thank God for a good friend that can take you out and help you enjoy each and every day.
Well, thank you. And if I go to YouTube, can I get, if I go to basic, if I put in basic gospel, can I get those things that you were talking about?
Yes, you can. Let me do this. Let me put you on hold, Jenny, and we'll get some information from you, and we'll just send you a whole bunch of stuff, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Good to hear from Jenny.
Yes, indeed.
844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me, and we're glad you're with us. Once again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Javier is watching us on YouTube, and he has this question. Is pleading the blood of Jesus Christ when praying biblical? Is that something that we should be doing as believers in Christ Jesus?
Well, that's a great question. You know, the idea of pleading the blood, it certainly is used in spiritual warfare prayers. It's used by a lot of movements out there who are trying to cast away demons from believers and that sort of thing. And what we need to recognize is whether it's our protection in Christ or whether it's our forgiveness in Christ. Jesus said something on the cross that is so relevant. He said, "It is finished." And when we recognize that it's finished, Bob, we don't have to wish for the blood or hope for the blood or plead the blood. What we can do is simply just count on the fact that Jesus shed his blood one time. It worked the first time. No repeat needed. And then as far as the enemy goes, 1 John says the evil one can't touch you. So if you're worried about the evil one touching you, it's because we've believed a lie. And we don't need to walk in lies. We should walk in the truth. Well, what's the truth that sets you free? Yes, the enemy can bark at you. The enemy can accuse you. The enemy can tempt you. But the enemy can't really touch you. There are no Christians possessed by demons. We are people of God's own possession. The Bible tells us that, and God won't share us. We are sealed until the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit. So as far as trying to activate the blood, plead the blood, get the blood, any of that business, we need to be saying it's finished, along with Jesus our Savior, who said that very thing, and recognize we're totally forgiven people, and we're totally protected people because of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that "it is finished" puts a big thank you in the heart, doesn't it? And that's how we can respond. God activated the blood of Jesus Christ. He's already shed it once and for all. We can just say thank you, and boy, that puts peace and rest in our hearts, and that's what we're after. I want to experience peace and rest, and there's only one way to do it, and that's in recognizing that it is finished.
It is finished. It's the good news that you hear daily on Basic Gospel, and we're glad that you're here today to hear it. Once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. And guys, shifting gears pretty significantly, this is a question from Facebook viewer Morgan. She says, is it okay for Christians to do yoga?
Interesting. Well, this is one we get, Bob. It seems like we get this once every couple of months. People are wondering about yoga and other things for that matter. But when it comes to yoga, here's what I would say. I mean, certainly there's an exercise and physical movement aspect to a lot of what yoga is. And then for other people, yoga, somehow it just becomes a religion, and it's rooted in some Asian practices and beliefs. And folks can take that and start looking to yoga practices for some sort of enlightenment, some sort of peace of mind. And we need to recognize that Jesus Christ is our peace of mind. And, you know, we're free to go for a jog. We're free to do gymnastics. We can do cartwheels all afternoon. But there's nothing magical about yoga that's going to bring us anything spiritual of value, especially as Christians. We just need to know, wait a minute, if I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, and if I am complete in Him, and if I've got everything I need for life and for godliness, then I don't need to go shopping, hunting, begging, pleading for more, and I certainly don't need to look to any outside movement to get more. So I think it's all in the attitude, Bob. You know, there's nothing wrong and everything right with getting physical exercise.
Sure.
But we don't want to look to yoga as a spiritual source of anything or for peace of mind.
I think the benefits that are available through yoga as far as exercise and stretching, those are things that God put in existence when He created everything. And
yes.
I think the religions, the mystical religions you were talking about, have kind of usurped credit from God and His creation. So, yeah, I agree with you, Andrew. Thank you for that.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, we have this question from Kent, who's watching us on YouTube as well. And the question is this: is the book of Hebrews an argument against apostasy?
Oh, interesting. I really don't. I wouldn't categorize it that way, guys. I would say it's an argument against riding the fence. It's an argument against having one foot in the Jewish temple and one foot toward the direction of the cross. It's an argument about putting your full confidence in what Jesus Christ did. It is not about people ditching the faith. It's not about, certainly not about, loss of salvation. And the warnings that you see in the 6th and 10th chapter are exactly what I was talking about. Those are warnings for Hebrews. They're warnings not for believers, but for people riding the fence. They're saying things like, you know, don't harden your heart. And if you do, there's an expectation of punishment. And what do you think you got when you rejected Moses? How much more do you deserve if you reject Jesus? And don't put Jesus to open and public shame as you go back to the temple looking for forgiveness. There's no forgiveness there. You guys need to repent of the dead works of the temple and put your faith in the living God. His name is Jesus. So to me, Bob, that is the central theme of the book of Hebrews. It's certainly not about loss of salvation, but it is about a bunch of Hebrews who have lost their minds, meaning they've been presented with the gospel, they've had a taste tester of it, and they've decided to go back to the temple and invest in those practices instead. And man, the author of Hebrews is upset about it. He wants to make sure that they see the clarity of the gospel and put their full confidence in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a, I think it's a magnificent book as far as the person of Jesus Christ, just who He is and how He compares to everything else out there, and an incredible argument for the new covenant over and above the old covenant. And that's exactly what you're saying there. The writer of Hebrews is pushing every person who reads that book to Jesus and to this new covenant, and saying, hey, if you reject that, there's no one else coming, and there's no other agreement that God has made and delivered to us other than this new covenant. So accept it, be happy, go boldly to the throne of grace, have a confident faith, and enjoy this new life that you have in Jesus Christ. So Kent, thanks for a great question. I think that's the first time we've ever heard that about the book of Hebrews. Mm-hmm. Is it an argument against apostasy?
Yeah.
So thanks for posing that on today's broadcast. Let's go to Denver and talk to Sean. Hi, Sean.
Hey, brothers. How are you guys doing there?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just wanted to comment on the yoga thing. You know, I've listened to a few people here, and I want a little more of you, and some credible sources said it's something we shouldn't get involved, because the word yoga means mind, mind, body, and spirit. And it basically was created just to empty your mind and let other things come into it, where the Bible says we're to meditate on God's word and not on Him. And, again, I've talked to a few people and heard on other shows where you've had people who were involved in that for a while, and they said, yeah, first few years are fine, but then over time they're getting depressed, or they're starting to see things, or they're hearing things, which is, you know, evil spirits, even the position. And I always tell people, you look into it, because there's enough evidence to show it. It's something that's going to pull you away from God. And anything that's going to pull us away from God, it's not good. So I always tell people, I don't necessarily just come out and say, no, don't do it. I says, you know, I would look into it, because it's something that will eventually pull people away from Jesus and just pull them into their own world. So.
Yeah. Well, I think the book of Colossians really speaks to this in general terms when Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And then he goes on to say that we have been made complete in Christ Jesus. And Andrew, that's exactly what you were saying, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And you know, my take on this is, again, what are we advocating for in general? Good exercise. And if it's a matter of conscience, for you, then stay away from it. But, you know, in my lifetime, I've done 5,500 stretches and 10,000 cartwheels and all kinds of sit-ups, and it never made a demon come to me. So I think we have to isolate the spiritual aspect of yoga and say, I'm not into that, and then say, well, but the physical, any sort of physical exercise, I can let all be done for God's glory, 1 Corinthians 10. It's kind of the meat sacrifice to idols thing in some regards, guys, because, you know, that could be a real conscience issue for one believer, and yet another, they think, wow, this is a good hamburger, and now I'm done, thank you, Lord, and it doesn't matter that it was sitting in a pagan temple there for the previous day. So I think we just have to use discernment, avoid anything harmful, and only engage in the exercise portion if we're going to do it at all.
Now, Sean, you had a question or a comment on the COVID-19, right?
Well, like I said, just as long as everybody just keeps safe, also just put our faith and trust in God. Just put our faith, because He's the one who will get us through this, and He's not the author of fear. Yeah, that's coming from Satan. And I've been hearing some people in the church, you know, they're afraid. I said, well, just put your word in God, and, you know, just get yourself around other believers to support you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sean, that's good encouragement. And, you know, our life is a life lived by faith in the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And certainly when life brings things like this to us, God's love never changes, and that's the constant. And so we can look to Him through thick and thin and experience His life, His wisdom, and enjoy that relationship, that dynamic, vibrant relationship with Him. So, Sean, thanks for jumping on with us today. We sure appreciate it, my friend.
We certainly do. Thanks, Sean. And friends, of course, we want to say thank you for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We always love hearing from you. And if you have a question that arises overnight, some life issue or a Bible question, well, give us a call. Leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Andrew, we have just about 50 seconds. Give our listeners your thoughts on supporting this ministry that we call Basic Gospel.
Well, there's just no other message out there like it. I mean, every single day throughout the country, we have the privilege of proclaiming the finished work of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. There's no greater cause to support. So I encourage you to go to basicgospel.net and support us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Andrew. And friends, you can always go to basicgospel.net, and you'll find that prominent link right on the homepage where you can make your contribution and join us in partnering with the best message, the only message that makes an eternal difference in the lives of people. here and around the world. We love ministering wherever you're hearing this broadcast, and we would love to have your support. Again, you can do that at basicgospel.net. Just click donate and partner with us. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with sincere thanks to our friend Andrew Farley for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow as we present another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.